David and I have talked about doing this podcast for years, and we are finally, finally doing it. For our very first episode, we decided to talk about the 2024 election, which promises to be the main topic for the next year or so. We begin our discussion by debating whether or not Ron DeSantis should run for president. You and I disagree on this point. I have gone back and forth a few times because that's what I always do. So that's not going to change. I think he should not run for president. And you obviously think the opposite, right, David?
Yes, I'm of mind he should. I think he has a lot of skills that would be very beneficial to activists and the Republican Party. I'd like to hear you go through yours first, if you don't mind. We're doing a pro-con, then I guess you're the con. Kind of give us your take on why he should sit this one out.
Well, primarily, I think he should sit it out because for his own political career. I mean, everybody's pointing. I mean, I didn't realize he was as young as he is. I mean, he's 44 years old, so he's extremely young. So having to wait 4 years is going to be nothing for him. If he runs for president, he really runs the risk of ending whatever presidential ambition he has. It's not that I believe DeSantis will not be able to defeat Donald Trump in the primary. My main concern is he going to be able to win in the general? And I think he's not going to be able to, because it's quite clear from everything that Donald Trump has done and said that Trump has decided that if DeSantis gets the nomination, he's going to destroy him in the general. Once you lose a general election, there's really no coming back from that. DeSantis can afford to get into a primary, lose the primary, and then come back and get the nomination. I mean, that's been done over and over. McCain lost to George W. Bush, and then he went on to get the nomination. Same thing with Mitt Romney. So it's not unusual for a candidate to run a couple times before he gets the nomination. But it is unusual for a candidate to lose the general and then come back. The only one I can think of is Richard Nixon, who lost in 1960 to Kennedy and then came back in 68. I mean, clearly the man has the political ambition to become president. So why risk it now? Why risk a bloody feud during the primary and then have Donald Trump undermine you during the general? Just doesn't make sense for someone as young as he is. So that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking more about his own career, which it's quite different than what you're thinking, which you're thinking about the party and you're thinking about the country. Why do you think it'd be good for the party and the country for DeSantis to run this cycle?
Well, before I go into that, there was one other item that you forwarded to me that was, what, a tweet or something like that, that was from Trump. Maybe it was on his Truth platform. When you read it or when you forwarded it to me, I think that's where you're coming from, that you're saying Trump has said he is going to outright destroy DeSantis in the general if DeSantis gets the Republican nomination. What was that?
Well, I don't have the tweet in front of me or the statement, but it was generally something to the effect that he's never going to have a political career because MAGA will never forgive his disloyalty. This is Trump's argument, you know, that DeSantis is being disloyal and the MAGA people will never forgive him, and which means he might as well just forget his political career. Like I said, I don't have the statement in front of me. I probably should have
gotten it. It was him just prognosticating, but it was obviously worded in a way as basically to tell DeSantis, if you do this, then this is what's going to happen to you. This is what I'm going to do to you.
Yes, exactly. I know the Trump supporters are saying that that was not a threat. That was simply Donald Trump analyzing the race. Is Trump running to be a pundit, a political pundit, or is he running for president? First of all, we've never seen a candidate tell others, you need to stay out. I don't recall anyone in any party ever doing that. If you want to run, you run. And I've never seen a candidate that does political analysis and punditry. You're running for president, run for president. Talk about your record. Talk about what you intend to do should you get 4 more years in the White House. Run for president. But that's the excuse that that Trump supporters are using, right? What that was, it was a threat. It was a threat. You get in, I'm going to make sure that you never have a political career. That's what that was. Anyway, we're going off topic.
Well, no, I think that's very relevant because you're saying DeSantis should basically take this to heart. This should be part of the consideration that he makes in making the decision that you're saying he should make, that he should sit with this one out. Let Trump do his thing, whatever he does, and then come back in 2028 or whatever.
Oh, here we go. I found it. Okay. This is Donald Trump. Ron DeSantis is a young man who is not doing well against me in the polls, to put it mildly. I believe that if he decides to run for president, which will only hurt and somewhat divide the Republican Party, he will lose the cherished and massive MAGA vote and never be able to successfully run for office again. If he remains governor, which is what Florida voters assumed, well, I don't know the Florida voters assumed that. I don't recall DeSantis promising to be there for the full 4 years anyway. It will be a whole different story. Just saying, but who knows? ?
Yeah, I think and not so veiled. I think that's Trump trying to be, like you said, pundit and prognosticator, wherefore that's not what people are behind him for.
I do think that DeSantis should take it to heart. And I'll tell you why. Because I think it's going to be extremely difficult for Republicans to win in 2024 for one simple reason. The Democrats have in place now a system that allows them to identify individuals who would vote for them, but generally don't vote because they just don't want to go through the hassle of voting. The Democrats now have months to go through the registration rolls, send the ballots to these individuals, follow up with them, make sure they complete it, and then collect the ballot and take it to the centers to be counted. And we've seen this. We've seen this in Arizona with Katie Hobbs. She didn't campaign. She didn't debate. She simply put her name on the ballot, and then the Democratic organization, the ballot harvesting operation, did everything for her. That's why I think it's going to be difficult, very difficult, for any Republican to win in the general. Add to that, Donald Trump tearing you down. And yes, I do think Ron DeSantis should take Trump's threats to heart.
I definitely think that tweet that you're referring to on the Truth platform is something that take into consideration. But I think that, like you've also said at one point recently, I think that the decision has been made. I think that DeSantis is in, and we're already seeing multiple advertisements from, if not multiple, what are they called, super PACs, basically talking about him as presidential candidate. And very good advertisement. So that's very encouraging that there are multiple, apparently, super PACs, however large they are. I mean, maybe it's just the same group putting a different name out there. Who knows? But I definitely think that he should get into it. And the reason that I keep going back to him from a couple of years ago, before we even knew for certain that Donald Trump would be running again, which, you know, you can make the argument, it's kind of been a foregone conclusion for whatever, 2+ years now, but we didn't know until fairly recently. But from a year or 2 years ago, or shortly after the 2020 election, with DeSantis, I, as I've said for a long time now, you know, I liked the gentlemanly qualities that Mitt Romney brought to the table. I liked his professionalism. I liked his polished, genteel qualities. And the only problem I ever have with that was, you know, when the foreign policy debate, the third debate, I believe it was, with Barack Obama, where he could have gone in there and absolutely torn Obama to shreds. And if I remember correctly, is more or less, it was closer to the opposite, where Obama's allowed to go into that debate and tear Mitt Romney apart because Mitt Romney was not aggressive. No. And it's ironic that sometime after that election, he went into the ring with whatever the boxer's name was and went three rounds for charity fundraising purposes. It's like, why didn't you do that in the election, Bozo? What are you doing? That was the one thing that I ever wanted to see from Romney was, okay, you've got the qualifications, you've got the resume, you've got the gentlemanly qualities, now stand up and fight for us. And that was the one thing he was ever missing. And if there's ever one thing that Donald Trump has in surplus, it's definitely that street fighter mentality. He will fight anybody, anywhere, anytime. Throw down. Let's go. You name the time, you name the place, I'm there. And to an absurd excess, he goes so far beyond what we need to see in that. But that's one of the greatest things that Trump has taught us is how to fight. And that's one of the things that his supporters and Republican voters and people who voted for him, whether supporter or not, have liked most about him. And my point with Ron DeSantis is we see a little bit of both of those. We see a little bit of the genteel qualities of a Mitt Romney and the way that he's able to answer questions on the fly in a diplomatic but in an authoritative tone. Also, you have that ability to go toe-to-toe with, it doesn't matter if it's a Walt Disney, it doesn't matter if it's a Democrat in Dade, Broward County, South Florida, it doesn't matter if it is removing a Soros-funded and backed district attorney, you've got a guy who has a big old pair of brass balls and he's willing to slap them around and when necessary, beat you up. But he doesn't just go around blanket threats to people either. He's got a little bit of restraint and he's got that gentle quality, like I said, that we see maybe a little bit too much of with Mitt Romney. It's just a really nice mix of those two. And when you look at his record, on the policy front, the things that he's done in policy in Florida as the governor, I think that DeSantis is very uniquely matched up in terms of the gentlemanly qualities and the street fighter qualities. It would be really interesting to see him and his campaign through the combination of public rhetoric and the advertisements that we're sure to see, as well as interacting on the debate stage, to see in some way, shape, or form Ron DeSantis and his campaign set Donald Trump up, whether it's advertisements that the Trump campaign hurls at DeSantis, and DeSantis comes back and says, you know, he's criticizing me for my votes in Congress, whereas these are the exact same things that we want our Republican congressman to do. Or whether it is the loyalty thing is another good example, where DeSantis can now go after Donald Trump and say, you know, sir, you criticize me as saying that I'm disloyal, but I've never made a pledge or a pact with you where I'm loyal to you. I have raised my right hand to the Constitution of the United States and the laws of the same and of the state of Florida. And you're none of those. Welcome to Florida. Nice to have you. I have no fealty to you. Donald Trump has gone out there now and said, well, Ron DeSantis is not loyal. Well, Ron DeSantis can now come back and say, I'm not loyal to you. Furthermore, why should I be? You had the opportunity. You were in the office and you didn't do this with it. So you know, these things that Trump has already come after Ron DeSantis with, I think provide a good opportunity at the right time, with the right words, in the right way. Maybe a lot of this stuff is going to be, like we've discussed, super PACs going after Donald Trump so that Ron DeSantis doesn't have to be the street fighter, doesn't have to be the attack dog. Let other people do that. I think that that's a good strategy potentially also is just let someone else be doing these things that I'm talking about. And Ron DeSantis is standing here talking about when we had COVID happen, here's how I responded. When we had Disney, the woke corporations happen, here's how I responded. When we had Soros DAs, here's what I did. I think that Ron DeSantis has a lot of good things that he could point to and say, now this is, yes, I understand, this is just as a governor, and this is just one state. I get it. But here's what I have done. This is what you want. And you have called him rightly I was thinking the same thing before you said it. And that's why I was so agreeing with you. What did you call Governor DeSantis?
I don't remember what I called him exactly.
The most.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Thanks for reminding me. He is the most successful governor, Republican governor since Reagan. There's no question about that. But I'm listening to you, and you're still not addressing, and probably you will, but you're not addressing, okay, how does he deal with the fact that Trump does have a very, very loyal following? And if Trump tells his followers not to vote for DeSantis, they will not vote for him. So how does he overcome that? Because you're making reasoned argument, you're making a good factual argument about the successes, what he has accomplished as governor, his skills, all of that. But you're dealing with the MAGA mentality, and they're loyal to to Trump. So he's got to overcome that.
I've said in our conversations many times that we're talking about basically the same population of people who were the incremental, you know, over the top, not just any previous era president, Republican versus Democrat, but the percentage that took Reagan over the top, that made 1980 and 1984 such blowouts is what they were, not just in the popular vote, which was not that huge, but on the map. When you look at the map, I mean, in an era now today where you've got entire regions of the country that are one color or the other, red or blue, Reagan was red nationwide. So you've got those people in that era. And then you've got the Perot voters in 92, 96, mostly 92, to a little bit less of extent in 96. And then they went away for a very long time. And then, like I said, in 2016, when I was out at the polling places up in Denton County for my friend who was running for re-election there in local office, and I had this one little old lady at one point who, in just a very sheepish, very, I don't know where I am tone of voice, said, is this where I go to vote for Donald Trump? And there was that population of people that they were out. This same group of people, these are who we're talking about. So it's really difficult to accomplish what you're talking about. You have to appeal to a group of people who, if they don't like the candidate, if the candidate doesn't really get their blood flowing, they're going to go back to sleep. I mean, like for a generation. And now with the age group of people that we're talking about, these are people that are going to basically go back to sleep, and they're just going to go, they're going to die. They're going to go hide back in a hole, and 20 years from now, they're going to be gone. So it's really difficult to accomplish, number one, what you're talking about. They're going to have the right strategy. They're going to have the right messaging. But there has been no other governor in 30 years who has the record to be able to run on. And some of these people are aware of it because, you know, some of them, like us, are suckers for anything to do with politics. But a lot of them are not. And a lot of them are going to have to be told, hey, listen, when Donald Trump went on lockdown, I opened up. Where Donald Trump was being prosecuted by George Soros supported DAs, I went on the offensive. I took one of them out, and the rest of them, if there are others in the state of Florida now, know you better be really damn careful with how what you're doing in your job, because your governor will take you out if you're not doing your job. And these are the types of things that give ammunition to a campaign, to a communications director, to the advertising strategy, the marketing strategy that goes into it. It's one thing to stand up there and say, build a wall. Well, okay, show us the wall, Donald. You name the date, you name the location. You know, you want to go to El Paso, you want to go to Brownsville, you want to go to some other place in between, show me your wall. One thing to stand up
that
there.
That would be a brilliant move to actually say, okay, Donald, let's go see the wall you built.
I mean, I think that needs to be very early in the first debate. I think that between now and when the debates happen, if DeSantis gets into it, I think that his people need to impart on whoever the debate host is, ask the question, record versus record, and ask it of DeSantis and let him get up there and say, you want to talk about these things. I mean, he can point to putting grants on airplanes and sending them to Martha's Vineyard. It's a problematic issue, but when you're talking about Republican voters, when you're talking about the people he has to appeal to, that will appeal to them.
Anyway, you were mentioning what DeSantis should say during a primary debate. I don't know if you've seen this, but Newt Gingrich put out a tweet saying, quote, "No reason for President Trump to debate in the nominating process. Nixon and Reagan did not debate opponents in the primaries in 1972 and 84. President Trump has nothing to gain and a lot to lose elevating candidates who are at 4% or less while letting hostile media attack him." End of quote. Newt, laying out the rationale for Donald Trump to avoid primary debates, does reinforce your point that Ron DeSantis does have a lot of ammunition against Trump. I mean, obviously, I don't believe that Donald Trump is afraid to debate Asa Hutchinson, Tim Scott, or Nikki Haley. He's concerned about DeSantis. In any case, I do find it very interesting, a very interesting development in American politics that both major political parties are trying to avoid primary debates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The primary debates have become almost a joke on both sides. When you've got 16 candidates, there's no way that you're going to get an actual debate. You can't ask 16 people the same question. And not all of those 16 people, I mean, you're talking about 16 people who are basically competing for 50% of the vote, more or less. You're not going to need to talk to 12 of those people at least at all. And it's a waste of time the way that they've been doing it the last several cycles. It's a television thing. It's an entertainment thing. Kind of going back to DeSantis, I think that your question with regard to what Newt was saying, there are two candidates on the Republican side if DeSantis jumps into it. I think that the two of them, their campaigns can basically work out so that the candidates don't even have to address it, although Trump definitely will. We're just going to have a debate between the two of us, because this is really what the people want is to know, do we want to support this one? Do we want to support that one? The rest of them, let them go and they can have their own debate if they want to. They can go the next night and they can talk about what we say. Go for it. Knock yourselves out. But those three are not going to have any relevance between the three of them.
I do agree that there should be you have to meet a certain level of support. I would say that a candidate should be polling in the range of 15% to 20% to participate in the debates. I see no reason why candidates who are polling around 1%, 2% should be included in the debates just because they filed the required papers to run for president.
If you have someone who's polling 10% and you've got the top two, I mean, if the third place person is polling 10% and the top two are pulling in a combined 70-80% of the vote, forget it. The rest of you guys are out. Even if it's 56 Trump to 26 or whatever the number was, DeSantis 21%, whatever DeSantis. This is a two-man race. And DeSantis is not even in the race yet, officially. So as far as Newt is concerned with saying Trump doesn't have anything to gain and everything to lose, yeah, there's some truth to that. He has to be a little bit concerned about, and he is very concerned about Ron DeSantis. What's Ron DeSantis going to do? Because number one, DeSantis is tearing up money that could be going into literally Donald Trump's pocket. And number two, he's the only other person really in this race. Now, these are people that if they say something to an extent, they're going to get coverage. But that's not the same level of that's not worth including on the stage. You're going to be robbing from the big show, which is Trump and DeSantis.
No, I agree with that. Yes, absolutely. It would be DeSantis, Trump race. And I do like that benchmark that you laid out. Say, well, if the top two candidates combined represent 70% of the vote, then that's who should be debating, because that's 70% of the primary voters. That's where they are. So let those two debate, hash it out. That way you can actually see the candidates perform, as opposed to the 16 people that get two sentences out every 20 minutes or so. Anyway, I want to circle back. Sorry, I couldn't resist to talking about the general, because that's really what I am concerned about. How does the DeSantis campaign deal with a Donald Trump who is willing and certainly able to undermine him in the general? The reason I'm so focused on the general is because as the Republican nominee, DeSantis will face a hostile mainstream media, a media that will proceed to call him a white nationalist, a white supremacist, will find some KKK member somewhere to endorse him and highlight that. They will definitely bring up his don't say gay and portray him as an intolerant homophobe. Add to it the fact that, as I already discussed, the Democrats now have their dream electoral system in place, and they will have months to make sure that their voters turn in their ballots. Just those two elements will make it very difficult for any Republican candidate to win. Now add a third element. Donald Trump actively undermining you, telling his supporters not to vote. I mean, whether or not they go to sleep, what part of the electorate those voters make up, it really doesn't matter at this point. You still need those numbers. You still need them to vote for you to win the presidency. But more importantly, what Donald Trump will do is he will suck up all the oxygen. He will get all the media coverage. The media will be more than happy to focus on Trump, DeSantis fighting and giving Biden the perfect opportunity to avoid answering any questions, to avoid discussing his record until perhaps the late fall when the presidential debates are held. Of course, there's always a chance that they may cancel the presidential debates too. For DeSantis to get in, it's very high risk. And even from the point of view of the party, because you talked about how it would be good for the party to have DeSantis as the nominee, do you want to sacrifice the most successful GOP governor since Reagan? Is it really worth it? Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about sacrificing DeSantis unless you find an effective way to deal with Trump.
And that's a really good way of stating it, because I'm concerned if DeSantis's campaign is going to be completely different than what Donald Trump's campaigns have been. It's going to be much, much more traditional Republican campaign. The campaign is not going to do things that, you know, that we're talking about. That, well, if they would do this and if they would say that and if they'd go after Trump in these ways and if they would not go after Trump in these ways, that's not the way they think. This is going to look a lot like, pick a name, George W. Bush, Romney, McCain, and all of those guys that ran in 2016 and just one after the other got just slapped around and humiliated and put to the side. They all had these same people working for them. If not the same names, the actual physical people, then the same people that are trained by the same people that are trained by the same people, the same, you know, just one generation after another of Republican consultants. They're going to tell Ron DeSantis to do the same thing that they told everybody else to do, which is a point that you've made, that Ron DeSantis, in order to beat Trump, is going to have to handle himself differently.
Now, I do believe DeSantis has a great shot at defeating Trump in the primary. I know that the conventional wisdom is that Donald Trump has the GOP nomination wrapped up, but he will lose in the general. That's what I hear. That's what I read. DeSantis will benefit from the fact that I believe that most Republicans have Trump fatigue. I think they're tired of him. They're tired of his antics. I think they're ready to just turn the page and close the Trump chapter. What Trump does have, he has a core following. I would put it around 20%, maybe 20-30%. Then you have a lot of people like me who rolled the dice with Donald Trump in 2016, but you can't roll the dice anymore. I mean, he was president for 4 years, so everyone should know exactly what he's capable and incapable of accomplishing.
Well, I think that the decision probably has been made at this point. Whether it's the right one or not, I guess it remains to be seen. I think that you bring up some really great points. The chief one being that even if DeSantis wins the nomination in 24, I think that Donald Trump is going to just absolutely turn on the afterburners to try to destroy him after that. Yeah, as nominee DeSantis, when you still have Trump coming at you from one direction and Biden coming at you from the other, his team has to have a strategy in place for both of those considerations. Starting right now before he even gets into it.
He definitely needs to have that strategy before entering the race. As I said at the beginning of the program, if DeSantis loses the general, then it'll be very, very difficult for him to run for president again. I mean, I guess you could do a Romney, go and run for the Senate. But again, at 44, you have plenty of time. If they're going to get in, you better come up with a strategy to deal with Donald Trump, not so much in the primary, but in the general election, because you know darn well that Donald Trump will sabotage him, because Donald Trump wants to be in a position to say, you see, you should have nominated me. You see, I knew he was a loser. I can hear Trump already. I think we pretty much debated this point. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.